Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
And we are back. You are listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I am Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are talking with Mitzi Schroeder, the Director for Policy for Jesuit Refugee Service. And we're talking about the obstacles facing world refugees today, and we invite you to join our conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. It's 1-888-322-8465. Now, Mitzi, I wonder if we could talk a little bit about, you know, how we apply what we're learning here to our everyday life. You know, how can I, as someone living in New York City or someone listening to this show from elsewhere in the country, how can we sort of either participate in your work at Jesuit Refugee Service or find somewhere and to do something sort of locally or globally to help this situation?
Certainly. Well, first of all, First of all, JRS, part of our threefold mission, it is to accompany, serve, and advocate. And of those, I would say accompaniment is the most important. What do we mean by that? We mean that we try to be companions to refugees. We try to be friends to refugees on a personal level, to get to know them, to help them, to meet their needs, and to also support them in their aspirations for a better future. And that is something that everyone can do. In the United States, there are quite a lot of refugees who have been resettled here last year, over the last few years. And they would welcome your friendship. They would welcome you welcoming the Catholic ones into your church. They would welcome you just helping them to learn about their neighborhoods, to find work, to learn English. So there are many ways that you can engage with refugees personally. And this is the theme for our World Refugee Day statement, actually, is that we need to open our hearts as individuals to refugees and not wait for governments and large institutions to affect change. Change needs to come from within. Secondly, you can speak to your congressman or your senator about the needs of refugees and urge just and generous policies in the United States and toward refugees abroad. For example, women and children who've come in from Central America seeking our help and refuge are being held in detention centers as though they were common criminals. This is a shame. This should not be done. You could call your congressman or visit his office and point out that this is the wrong way to treat innocent victims who come to us as the land of the free, and then we put them in a prison. So that's a very important issue where people could be helpful. And then just, you know, talking to your neighbors about these issues, if you need more information to do that, our website, jrsusa.org, is an excellent source of information. So please feel free to visit that. You could sign up for our action alerts, and when there are issues affecting refugees, we will send you an email. We do this very seldom. We won't be filling your mailbox just when it's an urgent need. So please consider that.
I mean, those are great suggestions. And it seems to me that the piece about that you spoke of first about opening our hearts is so important, because I think people have images of refugees that come to us from the media that are somewhat old. You know, we either have images of people fleeing bombed out cities in Europe during the Second World War. We have, perhaps the so-called boat people during the 1970s and all the rest. But your point, though, is that these folks are actually living among us. Quite a few of them are living among us in our neighborhoods,
right,
in
mm-hmm.
almost every region of the country, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So how did this shift to this kind of sense of this urban refugee, as you've described it, come about? You know, how people purposely seek out these cities? Have they been placed there?
Well, very few people want to live in a refugee camp.
Let's take that makes sense.
It's a place of idleness. It's a place of deprivation. It's a place of restriction of physical movement, and often a place of violence. So refugee camps are not good places. Many people now who come into a country as refugees seek, first of all, many are from urban or suburban backgrounds, and they seek the cities because they see them as places of opportunity, and they see them as places of freedom, and they see them as places where they can be anonymous, which for many of them means a feeling of safety. So,
like every generation before them that came to the U.S.
Exactly, like every generation before them. And the world itself is becoming more urban, as we all know. So it's not surprising. So what's happening now is the U.N. and the humanitarian community have recognized this reality. And so there's a new policy that's come out called the Alternatives to Camp Policy, and that is aimed toward phasing out the use of refugee camps and helping people in urban areas. Where JRS comes in is our accompaniment model causes us to reach out into communities and to help locate and to befriend the most vulnerable refugees. In other words, when you have a city, a lot of times the poorest and most vulnerable people are afraid to come forward, or they're unable to come forward because of their physical limitations or because of the psychological trauma they have suffered. So we go out, we have staff people whose job it is to go out into communities, try to locate these people, and simply visit them in their homes and see what we can do for them and ask them if they're all right and come back again another day to see how they're doing. And in urban situations, this is exactly the kind of model that we think needs to be adopted more universally. So we feel that JRS really has a mission within a mission to help other organizations to adapt to the new realities of the urban refugee situation.
Well, our listeners can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. That's 888-3-CATHOLIC. And we are talking about refugees with Mitzi Schroeder from Jesuit Refugee Services. Now, Mitzi, what are most folks fleeing at this time? Is it some kind of political oppression? Is it economic? Is it religious persecution? Are they fleeing the global sex trade? What are the trends here that seem to be driving people to flee, to migrate?
Right. Well, the largest, I think you'd have to say it was a combination of all of those things, and the prevalence of any one push factor varies by location. But I think we have a world now in which we have a great number of political and ethnic conflicts going on at the same time. We have the war in Syria. We have the another war now in Yemen. We have an ongoing failed state in Somalia, and we have wars in Central African Republic and South Sudan, and I could go on and on. In addition, we have states that, like the three countries I mentioned in Central America, and like Bangladesh, and certain other places, who just are not able to protect the people who live in them, and that therefore people in either in fear of their lives or in economic desperation or in some combination of those two, because they're by no means mutually exclusive. They take to the seas or they take to the road and they try to find a place where they can live what we would consider a normal life.
Now, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the work that JRS does in Syria. I know you've been working with a lot of people there, and it's a place that's been in the news quite a bit lately.
Yes. Well, actually, Syria is at present our largest single program.
Is that so?
Yes. And, you know, up until like maybe 10 years ago, we didn't do too much emergency relief work. However, several times over the past few years, in in Haiti and in Indonesia and now in Syria, we were already present doing work with refugee groups when a great new disaster came upon them. So we were working in Syria and in the Middle East region with Iraqi refugees when the civil war developed in Syria. So we've stayed on, and we have worked with local church structures, which is very important because that gives us the community support and the infrastructure in terms of access to buildings and schools and so on that we need. So we've worked with local church structures to greatly, greatly expand our services there. And we provide hot food. We serve several thousand people a day with hot food. We provide food baskets to people who are destitute. We provide medicine. We provide education. And we provide counseling and social services. So it's quite a wide variety of services we provide. And we do this work not only in Syria, but also in the surrounding region in Lebanon, Jordan, and in Turkey.
And what are the principal challenges in working a place like that, quite apart from the kind of the physical danger that might be involved? It would seem to me that there wouldn't be a whole lot of infrastructure, ecclesial or otherwise, to really support JRS's efforts there.
Well, actually, there's a fairly extensive Christian community in Syria, and they do have churches and church buildings and school buildings, some of which, including some that we worked in, have since been destroyed by bombing. But there is a good infrastructure there. And in some instances, we've established relationships with the local Muslim hierarchy, and we're also able to use mosques and buildings that the Muslim community owns to house our work as well. And I should say, because I think it's of interest, is that half of our staff in Syria are Christian and half are Muslim, and about 85% of the community served is Muslim as well.
And what a great story, too, about interreligious cooperation that, you know, when we tend to think of Christians and Muslims and the Middle East, we tend to think of the antagonism or what have you. But here we have a wonderful example of people working together for the common good.
Yes. And although I'm very proud of our program for doing that, we are by no means the only example for that. And I think one of the really bright spots to look at in this whole situation, as dark as it sometimes seems, is that on the personal level, local communities of all affiliations are very willing to work together to help their people. So it is not a black and white situation, and we shouldn't lose sight of the goodwill and the cooperation that will eventually become the source of the rebuilding of the country.
Now, JRS really works hard to build those relationships, as you're saying, in both with, you know, policymakers, with people on the ground, with among the refugees. I wonder if there's any experience you have personally of a relationship that's come out of your work, of someone that has touched your life that you've worked with in a particular way.
Well, I've mentioned the student that we just met with from the Bhutanese community, which I thought was very touching. And I think that, I met, I'll tell you another little anecdote, but I'll be brief. When I was visiting the refugees on the Thai-Burmese border, where we have large education programs as well, I met a student who was the head of a student group in the camp. And he came to me and he said, Mrs. Schroeder, he said, we're grateful for the education that JRS has provided us so far. He said, but, you know, we only go through high school. We need a higher education if we want to go back to Burma eventually, and we want to be able to rebuild our countries, and we're going to need need skills that go beyond what we have now in order to do that? And can you help us? And JRS was able to open a chapter of a online learning course that we have in cooperation with Jesuit universities in the United States. It's called Jesuit Commons, Higher Education on the Margins. And what we did is we helped train a class of students, and this is still ongoing, with enough English skills and so on so that they'd be able to participate fully in this program. And then we built a center with computers in the camp, and refugees can go to that center and they can study two tracks. One is for community services, so to train people to actually work for nonprofit organizations to provide services in the camp to their community. And the other is for an actual certificate toward a college degree, which is provided by Regis University in the U.S. So I was really touched by that student and his group in approaching us, and I think about them, well, almost every day, I would say. And we are really, I think, able to make a difference by connecting kids who really aspire to a better future and have the capacity to take advantage of those opportunities.
Right. And what a great example of showing that you are really listening to what is needed in the community as well.
Yes, yes. I think that's a big difference JRS makes. You know, we did a program of sign language for deaf children in one case because their parents pointed out to us that that's what they most wanted. We've done special programs for vocational training for blind students in Africa because, again, the community said that's what was needed. And I think by not just doing a one-size-fits-all programming, but trying to respond to the felt needs of the community, that's where you uphold people's dignity, and that's where you engage their energy in solving their own problems.
Now, it was 1980, I think, that Father Pedro Arrupe, the Superior General of the Jesuits at the time, announced the formation of the Jesuit Refugee Service in part as a response to the plight of the Vietnamese boat people. And since then, it has experienced this tremendous growth, which actually speaks to the need itself, which is huge. I wonder if you could let us know, like, how many people are working with JRS right now? How many folks are JRS actually working with throughout the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, it varies from year to year because some of these emergency situations, of course, come and go. But on the average, we have about 1,500 staff. That includes about 110 Jesuits, men and women of other religious orders, and local people, and also a lot of refugees. So when possible, we do staff our programs with refugees. In terms of the number of people served, it's varied over the last couple of years between 760,000 and 950,000. Again, because needs come and go and grow and fade away. That gives you sort of a scale.
An extraordinary effort. And the church and the Jesuits and our lay colleagues at our best. And thank you very much, Mitzi Schroeder, for being with us. And if people want to learn more, they can check out the website jrsusa.org. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your work and for the work of JRS and for being with us today.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.